Gareth Rubin then joins us from London. Gareth, welcome to Community Connections.
Hi, it's nice to see you.
You have been a journalist. You're a Sunday Times best-selling author already. Was writing in your DNA when you were born?
Not really. I think people always presume that if you're an author, it's something that you've wanted to do, as you suggest, your entire life. It's something you've been building up to. But really, it's a career like any other. It's once you might walk into in later life, it's something you might kind of fall into. Something most people enjoy doing as their career. Most professional authors actually enjoy writing, but not necessarily. It really, I don't see why you can't be, an author as a profession, so same way that you can be a bricklayer as a profession. I don't presume that every bricklayer has always dreamed of being a bricklayer and does bricklaying in their spare time. If they do, I don't know. But it is a career. It is a profession which people can get into, get out of, and it's one which I got into, certainly writing novels fairly late. I didn't start writing novels till I was about 40. I'm now about 50, so yeah, gosh, it's been a long time.
We've got a reasonably good back catalogue for 10 years, Gareth, I'll tell you that much. Let's talk about the book. This is a little bit of an unusual book. I think it's the first time I've ever spoken to an author where the book itself is interactive. It's also very Christmassy based. And I know that you, from reading what you've written before, you quite like a sense of time and a sense of place.
Very much so. I think that I think you can re write a place of surreal murder mystery which is set in the middle of nowhere in a bleak landscape in possibly the future, possibly the past, nobody can tell. But people enjoy period details and people enjoy knowing when the where but works and where it happens because maybe it's somewhere they have a connection to, but mostly it's just so they can picture it and really kind of enjoy the detail. We always associate murder mysteries with one or two periods, really. We think of either Victorian England, if we think about Sherlock Holmes, or we think about 30s when you think about Poirot and Miss Marple. And they do work very, very well for murder mysteries, especially like cozy ones, because we have these lovely period details. We have the lovely cars, the dresses, the dinner jackets. We have all the sort of upper class gathering in country houses, not saying what they mean and really intended to bump off the host and steal their inheritance or long lost sons and long lost lovers. It's all really good fun, isn't it? And I think that's why we really associate that period is a good murder mystery.
How different is the approach when you're writing a book that is interactive, where your readers have decisions to make, as it were, compared to writing a standard beginning to end linear novel?
Well, this book you're talking about, that is Murder at Christmas, You Solve the Crime, is, as the name suggests, the reader is, in fact, yes, the sleuth, the detective in the book. So that the reader gets to decide what happens next in the story. So you get to turn to page 16 if you want to chase after the mysterious stranger with a bloody knife, or page 99 if you think you should search the billiard room for clues instead. And that's, I love doing that. It was so much fun. It's rather like the old Choose Your Own Adventure books, which a lot of us read when we were kids, which as you say, very interactive. And they're games as much as books. And I think murder mystery is a game really. You're trying to kind of get the prize, which is unmasking the master criminal, the evildoer, and we just enjoy doing all that sort of thing. Now, in terms of the difficulty compared to writing my previous books, the previous one was the new authorized Sherlock Holmes novel, so that was quite simple in the sense I knew what it was going to be, I knew it was going to work. But when you're writing an interactive game book like Murder Christmas, it's because it becomes eight times as difficult because you have to juggle eight different pathways and storylines and different where you're going to find the clue to the in this particular pathway. Is it under the cupboard or is it buried in the ground? And it was quite an intellectual exercise. It was quite tricky.
It strikes me that it would be a very good basis for an evening meal murder mystery that you could actually put on in a restaurant or a country house. Any thoughts on that in the future?
Oh, that'd be lots of fun. I hadn't occurred to me at all, but I suppose you could. Yes, you could play the game. You could read the book as a group. You could sit around your dinner party, as you say, and decide between what you're going to do next. Are you going to accuse Professor X, or are you going to accuse Miss Y of stabbing the Colonel to death in the chapel? That might be lots of fun. Yeah, I imagine some people will be doing that this Christmas.
I'll give you that idea for free, Gareth. No problem at all.
Thank
You
you.
mentioned something there that I did want to pick up with you, and that was your previous book where you wrote the next authorized Sherlock Holmes story. Did that give you a real sense of responsibility to make sure that the heritage that Holmes has already developed and the love amongst readers is continued? How much freedom did you have to tinker, as it were?
Well, that was a really interesting question, something which I had to kind of wrap my head around a little at the time. Sherlock Holmes is in the Guinness Book of Records as the most adapted literary character in the history of the world. There have been more films, TV shows, games, DVDs, pencil cases about him than any other, more than Harry Potter. Sorry, J.K. It's just, Conan Doyle's got 150 years head start on you. And so, yes, there is, in fact, a certain amount of responsibility, as you suggest. You don't want to ruin it for people. He's got so many fans around the world. He's a star character in every society around the globe. And you don't want it to be the case that you're the one who wrecked his legacy. You want to be the one who's who built on his legacy. And that's something which I try to do. That So in my book, so in Holmes and Moriarty, as the title suggests, it's about Holmes and Moriarty. Because Moriarty is a fascinating character, and he never really gets the screen time that he really deserves. Funnily enough, people don't realize that Professor Moriarty only actually appears in person in a single story, a single Sherlock Holmes story. The Final Problem. He appears, he's referred to in a couple of others, and he has a minor off-stage role in one, in the Valley of Fear. But he actually appears very, very briefly in the Holmes canon. And so I wanted to expand him. I wanted to give him back. So I wanted to give him desires and fears and wishes and goals and a personality much more than you ever actually get in the Conan Doyle canon, because people find him every bit as fascinating as they find Sherlock Holmes, as they should. I mean, he has so much potential. And so that's what I try to develop. Open his potential and give him a voice.
Are you keen to not get too stereotyped into the type of books that you're writing then?
Yeah, good question. I do like writing different genres. They're all thrillers, some of them mysteries, some are more mysterious than others, shall we say. I wrote one a few years ago, which was the most recently set one was set. It was about British SOE agents in Paris on the eve of D-Day. It was a spy thriller, kind of inspired by true events. So that's a slight, spies, true events is obviously a different genre to Murder at Christmas, You Solve the Crime, which is, an interactive game book where people enjoy it and sit down and have a cozy night in some mince pies and mulled wine, as opposed to The Winter Agent, that my spy thriller, which is quite bleak and brutal at times, because it is, as I said, inspired by true stories and had true depictions of the terrible violence, the terrible events of that period in occupied Europe. But Murder Christmas, You Solve the Crime, I wrote because I did want to try something new. I did want to try a new genre, even make up a genre maybe, which is kind of what it does. So I thought this is something I enjoy writing and reading murder mysteries. This will give the readers a chance to be the sleuths, be the star of the book, which is something which we all really wanted to do since we started reading when we were 12 and 10. We all really wanted to be the hero of the novel. And so this gives people a chance.
We will give out the full details of the book and the publication dates in a few moments. But before we wish you goodbye, I cannot let the chance go of mentioning your very own Hound of the Baskervilles, Jacob Rees' dog, and how
Jacob.
he helps you with your plot planning as you're out on walks.
Yeah, Jacob. He's a good dog. Even though he does have an asthma after biting another dog's, he bit another dog's ear in the park once, and the park's police got involved. But he's a good boy. Yes, a walking Jacob Rees dog. He's six. He's a silver Labrador, and we love walking in the park together. And that gives me time and space to kind of dream up plots and characters, and really just yes, it allows me my mind to wander really. Search for inspiration.
News bulletins will never seem the same now. Gareth, thank you so much for joining us. Let's just have a look at your book. It's called Murder at Christmas. It's published on the 20th of November. If you are listening on Monday, it's coming up later in the week. If you're listening to the Sunday repeat, you can already go out and buy it. The cover is attributed to G.B. Rubin. So if you're not necessarily looking for Gareth, G.B. Rubin is the name to look for. Gareth, thank you so much for joining us. Let us wish you the very best of luck with Murder at Christmas. And I can see a few Christmas parties where you're keeping all the guests busy. It's a chain from charades, isn't
It is a little bit, yes.
it? Gareth Rubin, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.